This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, When Glory Got Her Glow Back, A Glowworm's Tale. And the author is Laurel Lund. And Laurel joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Laurel.
Hello. How are you? I'm delighted to be here this morning.
Well, this is such a great book, especially with your emphasis not only on a nice kid's tale, but it sounds like a lot of adults can learn the power of color. So you're trying to help children understand the power of color, and obviously adults are going to learn that as well.
Exactly. And it actually is more than just the power of color. It also teaches many, many life lessons. So you can read it on a child's level or you can read it on adult level.
Well, we'll talk about some of those life lessons in a moment. This child's story focuses on this glowworm, and she's trying to get her glow back. And of course, there's, what, seven other characters in the little animal creatures, or as you put it, in the story?
There are seven creatures, and there's a reason for the seven, because in her search to get her glow back, she actually gets lessons from each one of the creatures she meets, and they combine to be the seven chakras of the human energy system.
Okay, now help us understand what a chakra is.
Okay, a chakra is actually a Sanskrit word, and it means wheel or vortex. And each of us has seven major chakras in the human body. They're non-physical centers of spinning energy that enable you to generate and receive vibratory life force. And that's known as chi in China, or prana in India, or mana in Hawaii.
And this is something you've been studying for some time?
Yes, for about 30 or 40 years I've been studying it. And the fascinating thing that each one of those seven chakras, and they start at the bottom of the spine and go all the way to the crown of the head, that each one of them has a different meaning. And each one of them has a different color associated with it because they all vibrate at different levels. And, of course, color is merely light broken down into vibration. So each one of them has a separate color, and each one of them also has a separate musical tone.
And you being a certified color and image consultant, interior designer, award-winning writer, I mean, this just makes so much sense to you that it's part of your life.
It is. It's combining all the things that I love together in one book and telling a wonderful tale and sharing a different aspect of color that children can learn from. That color is more than just what you see. It actually can be used to propel your life forward and to live your life with ease. And so there are ways to teach children how to do that through color.
We all hear the phrase that someone had a glow about them. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly. And that's why, of course, I use the glowworm as the central character of this story. when you actually, it goes back to biblical times, and all of the holy figures and saints that you see in paintings, you always see kind of an aura around their head. That is actually called a glory. And what it means is that person is vibrating at such a high level that all of their chakras are aligned and they are in harmony and in balance with the universe, and that is their glow. So there is such a thing as a glow. It's literal.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the story. Give us a little details about Glory and her search for her glow that she's lost, and then some of the characters, and then we'll get into more of the lessons of life. So just give us a little synopsis of the story.
Okay, just as simple as I could make it is this darling little glowworm loses her glow, and she goes on a journey to find it, only to discover in the end that she had it all along. So in her journey, she meets with seven characters. Each one of them imparts their wisdom to her to help her find her glow. And in the end, of course, she is adopting each one of those colors as she meets the animals. And in the end, she again discovers that she had never lost her glow. She had it all along.
Now, there's a couple characters that you say you just love. One is Bullying Bullfrog and the Vain Egret. Now, tell us about why you enjoy those characters so much.
Well, I think because bullying is such a big subject today, in today's world, especially with the internet and all sorts of those things. And what this bullfrog teaches is that he appears to be very self-involved. And he meets, of course, he's green, and the glowworm is also green. And he says, well, you know, we're really not the same. I'm a very, very important bullfrog, and you're just a worm. But we're both green, so I suppose we're both the same. So it really teaches people about diversity. And just because someone looks different than you are or plays in a different playground or lives in a different country, we're all the same. We're all one. And so I love that little bullfrog because he seems so gruff, but he's really very loving.
And then the egret.
And the egret is very, very self-involved. She's primping in the mirror when Glory meets her, and she barely notices that that little worm is even there. And then they have a discussion, and she talks about the importance of listening to your intuition, because she knew that the little worm was going to come. She just didn't notice her because she was so self-important. So they kind of work together in that sense.
Gee, it seems like I know some people like these two characters.
There are lots of people like all of the characters, and they all take on very human qualities, so it's really kind of fun.
So the other creatures, what are they?
The other creatures, and it goes by color. So the first creature she meets, it starts with red. Red is the chakra at the base of the spine, and that represents the life force. But that she meets with a ladybug. Mm-hmm. A very ladylike ladybug, and then she learns the lesson there and gets her. It's like winning her spots, winning her award. So she gets a red spot. That's her red chakra. Next, she meets with a monarch, beautiful orange monarch butterfly, and then she meets with a little duckling, a yellow duckling. And again, each time she meets an animal of a certain color, that color is imparted into her chakras. Then, of course, is the Bullying Bullfrog. His next is green. Green stands for love, and then next is a bluebird. Bluebird is at the throat chakra, and that represents will and communication. And the next thing she meets, of course, is the egret, which we discussed. And then the last character she meets is a hummingbird. Is a purple. It's called a mountain gem hummingbird. It's a real creature, and it's a purple. And so purple is the crown chakra. And so, in the end, she meets all these animals and wins her colors, so to speak, and gets her glow back.
And you mentioned earlier that she didn't realize that she had her glow all the time. And there's a lot of us, human-type creatures that look in the mirror and think, oh, my goodness, I don't like what I see. And yet, every one of us has something of a glow, which means we're worth a lot.
Every one of us has so much divine importance, and I think the world kind of tells us that we're not good enough, and we are. We're all perfect in every way, and that's the lesson that the glowworm learns in the end, that she really was always perfect. She had everything she needed to live life to the fullest, and I think that's a lesson for all of us.
So we can all shine.
We can all shine, and that's the point of being here. We need to shine.
And we have a responsibility to shine, I guess, as well, don't we?
Absolutely. Each one of us comes in with different talents and different gifts and different lessons.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. A new twist on the KISS principle. If you're not familiar with that, this one is titled Keep It Simple, Spirit. Simple practices for peace of mind, loving yourself, and a joyful life. Joining me from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, is our author, Connie Robichaud. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jay.
Good to visit with you. Fellow Canadian, I have to admit that to my audience. Besides that, I'll try to be objective. Your book, Keep It Simple, Spirit. Where did the concept come from? What is the background to the story?
The concept came from just simplifying things in your life, just keeping things simple. I find that we overcomplicate things these days. We put ourselves in the way of achieving our greatest success in life. And I just wanted to get back to the basics, as I call it, and identify the root causes of what causes a lot of the angst in our society and in our lives. The book itself came as a result of wanting to reach a larger audience out there, of putting healing in people's hands, literally. And I wanted to keep it to simple coping skills and practices that people could start the process of experiencing the shift in their internal feelings inside, their internal healings. And I wanted people to be able to reflect. That's why there's reflections at the end of each chapter. And there's notes so that when they get insights, they can jot those down. And when you take the notes, then you can see how far you've come. And you can see all those little aha moments that are identified. So all that is about the keeping it simple concept.
Is this a complicated book? You have 102 pages, and you've included in there, I don't know, 10 or 15 chapters. Are these chapters that deal with this is what you need to do, or are these suggestions, recommendations, and lifestyle changes?
They are a little bit of both. In each chapter, there's, I believe, 26 chapters altogether, but not all of them have healing tools, but the most of them do. And it starts with simple things, just as breathing. If you're not breathing physically, mentally, emotionally, you're not connecting to your spirit, your source of energy, and you are not connecting to your body. Without lack of oxygen, you cannot function. Your brain just goes dead. So if you're experiencing brain fog, if you're experiencing overwhelming feelings, a lot of the times just taking deep breaths and just calming yourself and being able to focus does wonders. So that's one of the tools that's in the book, amongst many others. And they're not complicated. There's breathing techniques. There's a little bit of mirror work, just looking in the mirror and identifying objectively, you know, what you see yourself, how you speak to yourself, what messages you give to your body. And so they're very simple. They're very simplified exercises that we can use.
In addition to being an author, share a little of your background. Why are you qualified to share these ideas with the public?
Well, I am a spiritual psychotherapist and also a spiritual coach or mentor. I also have fitness and nutrition expertise, and I am a hypnotherapist. So all these together qualify me to write such a book, and I am also clairvoyant. I'm an empath, so I intuitively feel what other people are feeling. So and also I have a background in a lot of caregiving in my past. I have a lot of caregiving, such as nursing homes, taking care of challenged individuals, physically or mentally challenged, working in the hospital settings and home care. So all that background qualifies me to be an expert on the caregiving aspect so that I can help people who become exhausted in this process.
Your book also deals with, many of us have emotional issues that we have buried from our past or maybe have made some choices that have impacted us in a negative way. How do you address those things? How do you overcome those particular aspects of your life, the human nature?
Well, the thing is, Jay, is that what happens with time, we a lot of the issues start when we were children. And for some reason or another, we're shamed. And that starts at the core, that shame layer that we experience as children, whether it was a caregiver, a parent, a guardian, an adult who told us we could not do something and made us shameful. And this starts in the early years. And over time, we layer these with other feelings and other processes. We become, we layer them with defenses. We layer them with personalities. And over time, they become patterns. So to get back to your question, is that we have to identify first. So awareness is key. And just realizing when I started this work on myself, I needed a lot of therapy hours to be as clear as I could to help my clients. So I did not realize what I was feeling. So the first thing that clients have to realize is what are they feeling, first off, and then to move through that one, that feeling aspect of it. And then when we start opening that crack in the door, I can begin to shine the light on the issue, and then we can bring it to surface and the client can move through it. So it is a process.
Does your book also deal with personal, physical, and mental, and emotional, and maybe chemical dependency of any type?
It touches on that, yes, because I believe in the body-mind-spirit connection. You cannot separate one from the other. So the body is mostly your physical aspect. You know, how you treat your body, how you feed your body physically, all the nutrition, the nutrients that you eat. I believe that if you have a diet that is full of processed foods and sugar and white flour and all that, that your body will become chemically dependent on those foods. Sugar has the same effect on the brain as heroin, and it remembers that hit of sugar for 3 weeks. So being constantly bombarded with chemicals outside of our bodies, if we process foods such as sugar and all the white stuff, it puts our body in the toxic environment. Now, the emotional, of course, is releasing all those negative emotions that don't serve you anymore and dealing with them, being truthful. And you have to be brutally honest with yourself. And some of the chapters, such as the mirroring work that I do with the blame game or the family ties that don't bind and gag, that one is the is called mirror work, and it identifies the 10 aspects of what you don't like in other people. By the same token, it could be something that you do admire and that you want to implement and you want to mimic a behavior, of course, but I focus on the negative aspects so that you can identify them and release them. And then the spiritual aspect is connecting with that spark, that inner child that has been wounded in the past, and to get back to that aspect and to heal it. Psychotherapy goes back to the past, but we don't dwell there. It is only to go in the past to heal that aspect and then to move on. We have to be careful not to dwell there, because the client, can get stuck and is stuck when they come to see me. And the spiritual aspect can also be connecting to a divine power, a power that is higher than you. And a lot of the 12-step groups such as AA deal with this. They go to a higher power, something that is bigger than you, and turning over and releasing to this higher power. So it encompasses all three aspects for sure.
Connie, how long did it take to complete your book? Did this Did this decision to write come recently, or is this something you've been wanting to do for a long time?
I've always been a writer. I've always liked to write poems and write stories, and I've always had the urge to write. And I had put it on the back burner for many years. Like most of us, we get responsibilities and we get busy with other aspects of our lives. And I wanted to return to that because that is who I am, and it's fun and it's creative, and it feeds an outlet that, you know, is creative to my own inner child, my own inner spark. So the book practically wrote itself. I called them downloads. That's the best I can describe. And I just identified, I got some downloads for the chapters of the book, and they were based in humor, because I feel that most of us who need to do healing need to have a little bit of humor, because it is work that can be very challenging. But at the same time, it is very, very joyful and very fruitful when you start doing your own work. So the chapters, pretty well, I would sit down at my laptop and just connect with my higher self and just say, let me be an instrument to share with people what they can do, how they can heal. And very rarely do I go back and change. So that was the easy part of it. And the two poems that are in there, the story of Little Spirit and the Snowflake, those are two poems that were downloaded within minutes. Story of Little Spirit is about that scared inner child that, you know, is afraid of moving forward in the world. And the Snowflake at the end actually happened when I was coming home one evening, and the snowflakes were falling, and it was a beautiful night, calm, and it just started to come to me, and I just rushed home and started writing, put pen to paper, and it just started coming out, and it was about sharing your gifts with the world and recognizing who you are and honoring your throat.
And wonderful and interesting as well. Share with my listeners in a couple of sentences. If you were to meet someone on the street or at the local coffee shop, and in Canada, it's Tim Hortons. If you are sharing a Timbit with someone, how would you introduce your book to them? Keep It Simple Spirit.
I would say that it is about, my Keep It Simple Spirit is about a mental, spiritual, emotional compass, dealing simply with what needs to change in your life, healing tools and coping techniques and skills that they need to do their inner healing and to move forward in life, to release the issues and break through the old patterns that are not working for them anymore. So it's a simple book on tools and techniques that, heals from the inside out.
Connie, are those the reasons that you think your book is maybe a little different from others in the marketplace? You would call it approachable.
Yes. Yes, I think it is, because I wanted, it's also for people who don't, a lot of people are busy and don't like to read very long chapters. And that's why the chapters are so short, is that, you know, they get to the point, they identify an issue, and with humor, compassion, and love and caring. And then you just put your insights, you reflect on the chapter, and you put your notes, those little aha moments that you have. So I realized that a lot of people don't like to read, and a lot of feedback that I'm getting is that, gee, this is a book that is very easy to use, and that's exactly what I wanted it to do. And it's for people who are ready for the process, because, as you know, you can tell people that they need to heal, but until that readiness comes, and you can talk until you're blue in the face, and they won't realize it.
Simple,
yeah.
Simple is what you've done. The title of the book, again, 102 pages, Keep It Simple Spirit, Simple Practices for Peace of Mind, Loving Yourself, and a Joyful Life. My guest author, Connie Robichaud, has joined me from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Connie, where can my listeners get copies of your book?
They can get them on Balboa Press, or they can get them on Amazon as well. And I also have a website, www.therapy3.org. and they can get them on any one of those avenues.
Wonderful. They can also keep in touch by doing a search online under your name.
Yes.
Connie Robichaud. Robichaud is pronounced, or actually spelled, R-O-B-I-C-H-A-U-D, a little French thrown in there. Connie, thank you for joining me today, and hope to hear from you in the future on the next book when it's released.
Oh, there is going to be a next book for sure, Jay. Thank you very much.
Fabulous. For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is Jay Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled The Guardians, and our author, Sandra Carvalho, who joins me from Trinidad, is on the phone with me today. Welcome, Sandra, to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Share a little of your background. You live in Trinidad, which is a wonderful part of the world. Have you always lived there? Were you born there? How is it possible that you are able to live in or near Port of Spain?
Well, I was born here in this southern Caribbean country and all my life, but I've been traveling due to my family work in tourism. And it has taken me to where I am right now in terms of writing.
Sandra,
I always wanted to be a writer.
You've always wanted to be a writer,
yes.
How long has, well, I won't ask how long that is because that would give away your age. That wouldn't be polite. But for quite some time, yes. Your book, the back of your book reads like this: in a world overrun by demons, the few humans that remain alive face an impossible fight. In the midst of this battle, Father Helder Pont, a young priest, finds his way to safety in a church on the east coast of the United States with two other men of the cloth, Marcus Rossi and Gideon McElroy. These are your primary characters.
Yes, they are.
Where did the idea for this come from? I know in the Caribbean there are cultures and religions that deal with the unknown. Is that where the idea came from?
Originally, it came from this country. I have an old friend who was a priest, and we were good friends originally. But in my travels, I had the diary of an old priest, and this is what led me to get into it deeper with the characters.
And is your book one that you would describe as a mystery, or would you describe it as a science fiction, more in that that style of writing?
It's like biblical, makes it a little science. I would say... but basically it's more biblical.
What is your underlying message from this, the Guardians?
It is basically about the Catholic Church and my experience, which I think has a lot to do with its hidden mysteries that has really inspired me.
You call it the Guardians. Are the Guardians the priests that are described on the back of your book, or are they the mysterious demonic forces that are also outlined?
No, the guardians are the priests, the troops, which one of them was held up once, and the other two that encountered as well.
You've managed to pen, this is your first novel or first story. Would you call it a full-length novel, or is it a short read because it's 80 pages that gives kind of an introductory idea or concept that you wanted to share?
I would call it a novella.
So a short read and a novella.
Yes.
And how long did it take, Sandra, to complete your first novella?
I think it took about 2 weeks. Yes.
2 weeks. That's remarkable.
Yes.
Did you sit down and the ideas just began to flow, or how did the storyline come to you?
It was originally a script, because, by the way, I also write a movie script. Then I said, let me take it to a different level and a different way, because I always wanted to write a book. So I said, let me put it into a novel. So that's how it happened.
Wonderful. That's remarkable in its own right. Did you also keep a diary or keep journals of ideas that came to you? You say you've done some script writing. Are there other novels or novellas that might appear in the future out of those notes?
Yes, there will. I have a lot. I have a return of it coming, the return of the Guardians. I will have some new characters join in the Guardians. So I'm really excited about that. Pretty excited.
Excellent. The length of the story is relatively short. Is there any underlying message that popped out as you completed this? You say it was a relatively short period of time that it took to complete this. Was there a message that came through that you maybe didn't realize was there until you finished the novella?
There was a message there, but I wanted to make an extension into a novel. But I just couldn't go further because I was like falling from the script that I have. So, but basically, that's all I want to tell about this story, because part of it came from a true event. So I wanted to keep it kind of original.
So you did draw this from a true event. That's interesting on
true
its
event.
Own.
Yes. Personal true event, yes.
A true event, yes. Wonderful. That in itself is interesting. You have, I'm sure, fictionalized many of the characters in here. What would you call or say to the reader that would underscore an exciting scene inside your novella?
There's a part, they're exhausted. There's a part where Sita and Helda, you know, really hold on to the storyline itself in terms of where the demon came up, and there's a part that she reads from the book. That really was a part that I was deep into, that I experienced with someone. So I wanted to bring that, you know, into the work itself.
You mentioned also that your story takes place in the eastern coast of the United States.
Yes.
Is there a specific reason why you chose that?
Well, I was more thinking like in the 18th century, what is it called, the Gold Coast, Palm Beach. That would be South Florida?
Yes.
Yes. And I was more thinking about the pirates' time, you know, in the 18th century. You know, I go way back in the history. So that's where my thought was at the time, in terms of location. It's also a nice place that I like.
So your story does take place in the past centuries?
Oh, well, it did not actually showcase it as that. I did not put that into it, but it did went back and forth. But actually, we didn't put it into it. So it was just the pirates coming into the future.
Ah, another another twist to your storyline.
Yes, it does. I just didn't know, but the time frame was not there. But that's how it was.
Now, to describe this to my listeners and get them interested in getting their own personal copy of The Guardians, how would you do that?
I would say that it's there. I would like them to really know a lot about what I do right now. And writing a horror on the Vatican is something I always wanted to do, and it's a mystery that keeps going on in my head right through. So I'm going to come up with something better and better. This is just the start of it.
Your book, I'm guessing from your perspective, all writers think they have something that is unique. Do you find something unique about how your book or your story came together?
Yes. There's a lot of there's an erotic romance in it that I tied in, which I think was great. It was original. So I kept that part into it, and I think that was quite unique in its own way.
And you talk about romance. I won't ask you whether that came from personal experience or not. That probably would be appropriate. But how long did it take you to research the background story of the, I guess, the settings and the individuals, the people that you have included in your novella?
How long it took me?
Yes. As far as the research, was there any research that you had to do in order to flesh out the characters and the settings?
Yes, I had an interview with one of the priests that gave me some background checks on some of my research and also the experience that he experienced personal hand as well.
Sandra, what is your long-term goal? This is your first published novel. What is your long-term goal with your writing?
We continue to write horrors. Most of it crime thrillers and sci-fi. I've gone into sci-fi as well. Crime thrillers, that's where I want to go. I may go into a Turin mystery magical novel soon. In 2015, great things is coming.
Ah, now the Guardians, would you recommend this to a child to read, or is this something that should be reserved for a little older audience?
It's a YA fiction, yeah.
For older people?
Not for kids, no.
Not for kids?
No.
Right.
It's YA, yeah.
A little older audience, so a mature theme in some regards.
I'd say over 18, yes.
Okay. Over 18, be warned, listeners. This book has some wonderful and provocative content, apparently. And, of course, the storyline is a little bit scary to some younger readers. So that would be something also to be aware of.
Yes.
What's next on the horizon? Do you have another book that's going to be released?
Well, I'm working on The Return of the Guardians with a zombie zone line. I think fresh characters should be joining the Guardians. So that's what I'm working currently on.
You mentioned that this
book... For 2015.
You mentioned this book, The Guardians, book one, or the first novella. It was drawn from some personal experience or introducing some ideas that you had personally become acquainted with. You mentioned your book two has zombies. Is that something you also are aware of in your culture?
Yeah, it is. It's in all cultures, actually. It's just to bring it out.
Real live thing, or is it something that's imagined?
There's cases of real zombies, but of course, this is more fictional.
That should be interesting. I'm kind of anxious to talk to you about it's completed too, the Guardians 2.
Yes.
This book is titled just The Guardians. And where can my listeners get a copy of your book, Sandra?
Well, they can get it at Archery Publishing, Amazon. My publisher's Archery and on Amazon right now.
Wonderful. Do you also have a website under development?
It is under development, that's right.
But not there yet. Listeners, you can find this book by also searching for the author. Sandra is spelled Sandra. Carvalho is Carvalho. And you can find out more about The Guardians and the next book in the series. Thank you, Sandra, for joining me from Trinidad.
Okay.
My
pleasure. Nice having you.
Pleasure visiting with you. For Archway Publishing, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.